Yo, welcome to the Meeting 3 Leadership Podcast. If it's your first time to the table, welcome, welcome. Glad that you decided to join us. Pull up a seat, grab a plate, make yourself at home. Hope you brought your appetite because you know how we do it in the Carolinas. We eat good around here. The investment is doable and the portions are generous. So if you leave hungry, that's on you. Episode 8, we are rolling along with the podcast. Exciting announcement. We are finally on Spotify. So that's huge news. So I'm very excited that this is the first episode that will actually go straight to Spotify. Very thankful just for the opportunity. Shout out to everybody who's been listening to me on Anchor. I will continue to upload on there, and that's the platform that I still record from. So very thankful. But in this episode, I have a very special guest, a brother in the faith, a teammate within ministry, within the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and just all around a great brother. Please welcome to the table, Shannon Powell. Shannon, what's going on?
Be nice. It is so good to be with you, brother. Man, I'm honored.
And I'm so glad you were able to make up time. For those of you who don't know, we're actually in Black Mountain, North Carolina right now at FCA Leadership Camp. And we are both serving. Shannon is actually the morning speaker, doing a great job of charging the students and the adult leaders and staff as well. So I appreciate you taking time. And actually, you just got done wrapping up a breakout session as well.
So, I did. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be up on the mountain. There's a lot of good memories. Be nice up here.
Yeah.
A lot of good things that we've had a chance to do through the years. And I'm humbled just to be a part of what God has done through FCA at Black Mountain, North Carolina.
Yeah. So speaking of which, one of the things that is customary to do on the podcast is to ask, do you remember when we met? So I pose that question to you, Shannon. Do you remember? And it's okay if you don't. Obviously, I know we've had a lot more deeper memories, recently, but I'm still kind of scratching my head. I think as we were talking off air, maybe at a previous leadership camp?
Be nice. Best I can remember, it would have been a leadership camp before it was moved to Black Mountain. Mm-hmm. I think that we were in Wilmington, North Carolina, UNCW, and we had met for the first time there, maybe a year or two after you had been on staff, but we had a chance to serve that camp together.
Yeah.
And it was some good memories, some good times there. Mm-hmm. I think where we met deeply was actually up here where we sit now, at the mountain of the Black Mountain, where we had some good preaching time. There was some good instruction. And I remember you and I just sharing some special moments in prayer.
Yeah.
So
awesome. Well, for those people who may not have met you or who don't know you as deeply as I do, how would you introduce yourself?
A humble follower of Jesus Christ, humbled by the Lord to be doing anything that he would call me to do. I am thankful to be saved by his grace. Mm-hmm. I am thankful to be celebrating very soon, next week, 19 years of marriage.
Come on.
I would talk of myself as a husband, as a child of God first, as a husband, as a father of two incredible boys, one of which has a chance to be at the mountain as a camper this year for the very first time.
That's awesome.
Neither one of my boys have known life apart from FCA. They have grown up inside the ministry and have developed some dear, dear friendships throughout that time.
That's awesome.
So as a child of God, as a husband, as a father, and hopefully as a mentor and a leader for those in the faith.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, being in ministry, an extended amount of time like that, longevity, being able to, affect a lot of people. You've seen a lot of changes, not just within your role within FCA, I'm sure, maybe even locations, but like, just the various people that you've encountered along the way. That's just really encouraging for me. As I told you, I'm approaching 5 years in ministry, and it's just been It's been awesome, to look back on various places where God has brought me. Sorry, I have a camp voice already. We're in the middle of camp. But I have to ask, with you saying how long you've been on staff and in ministry with FCA, how have you seen your perspective on leadership mature, change, grow over the years? as opposed to when you first started?
Wow. Be nice. I would say one key element that I lacked then, that I still have not mastered now, but that showed itself a lot more ugly early in my ministry, was probably a lack of humility. And maybe even a lack of gratitude. There's such a dynamic with leadership when you know that God has called you to leadership, to carry a certain confidence with you. But sometimes, when it's unguarded, that confidence can be translated into cockiness. And I sense maybe most leaders don't engage this. Maybe many more do than I'm aware of. But I think there's a certain amount of cockiness that comes along with that leadership, because you've got to be confident, yet you don't know how to streamline that confidence as being solely reliant upon Jesus Christ. And so you lean more on your skills than you do on the Lord. And so I would say that just through the development, I have not mastered it yet. Don't know that I will before I go into the ground. But I sense that that is one thing the Lord has worked on with me through the years. Having a healthy sense of self and having a healthy sense of Him as Savior.
Who are some of the people who helped you realize that you needed that humility? You know, because obviously you, like, you don't just all of a sudden say, like, you know, like a couple years in ministry or a couple, you know, positions of leadership, you're like, man, I probably need to be more humble. You know, something like that usually comes, you know, with either a situation or, you know, just some guidance from some wisdom from people. Who are some of those, I guess, people in your life who probably spoke to you and who helped you kind of foster some of that humility, some of that gratitude? Who are some of those people?
Well, be nice. I hold my cards close to my chest.
Yeah.
So I don't let a lot of the outside world all the way in. Yeah, maybe that's also a the underside of leadership. There's only a few people that really can get very, very close to you. But if I would attribute one person to being the one that leaned in to tell me that I needed to humble myself more, all that credit would go straight to my wife. My wife has been the great equalizer in helping me understand that humility would get me far greater results. Much further in ministry by showing the air of gratitude and showing the thankfulness and showing that the confidence lies in Christ and not in Shannon Powell's ability to speak and not in Shannon Powell's voice and not in Shannon Powell's leadership style, but in the humility before the Lord. The gift is going to make itself evident.
Right.
How you handle the people outside of the gift, that's where my wife challenged me the most.
Yeah.
Because you stand on the stage, Mr. Powell, she would say, does not entitle you to absolutely anything. And she had a way, very lovingly, as faithful wives can be, of bringing me down a notch to help me understand that there was only something to be gained by humbling myself, as opposed to feeling this arrogance or this cockiness or somehow this sense of entitlement of maybe having the platform. Or being able to share in front of other people as if my particular gift would have been more important than somebody else's gift. I hate that looking back, but I can't change that. All I can do is thank the Lord for where I am now and where He's brought me through the last decade and how He has sent such an incredible teammate through my wife, Mina.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely shout out to her, because she is very... You know, kind of, and I'm learning now, being very young in marriage as well, just, you know, the power of your wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, my wife has done the same for me, you know, in various ways, just in the short months that we've already been married. So I definitely can sense that, and that's awesome to hear. Very awesome to hear. But I think, you know, hearing, you know, just how, you know, you've grown in humility, I think I can look back on when I was in college. One of the things... that I fell short with, and I was talking to one of the huddle leaders about this, was I had a false idea of what humility was. And humility is not thinking less of your talent, or, you know, like thinking of, but it's thinking of yourself less. You know, it's like, how can I use what I have to serve others? Mm. You know what I'm saying? But I think it takes a level of self-awareness to understand, like, I can't give what I don't have. No matter how much my heart wants to give and wants to serve and wants to do this, I still need to be aware of what I have and what I don't have. So I ask that, you know, I kind of frame it up like that to say, you know, you referenced, you know, speaking and your voice and all of that. When did you kind of begin to recognize that you may have a gift in speaking, in engaging through audio, through voice, just engaging with your peers, with people in general? How did you recognize that? And then how did you start to develop that?
Interesting question. Be nice. I would say the very first times that I ever remember God pricking my heart toward ministry mm-hmm. would be in my childhood bedroom with the door closed, facing the mirror, trying to overcome the fear of being swallowed by a big fish. So I would be preaching into the mirror at myself mm-hmm. at probably age 10, 12,
yeah,
somewhere in that range. That's the very first memories I have of exploring that gift of speaking. I don't think that would be realized for some time much later on. I had already taken a role at a church in church ministry in the late 90s, served with them up until 2003 when I began my tenure with FCA. Mm-hmm. When I started with FCA, as with most other organizations, you're in the presence of some pretty incredible speakers mm-hmm. and gifts that are brought to the table, whether it's through camps or Days of Champions or random events that we put on through the ministry.
Right.
I always knew there was an itch inside mm-hmm. of me. There was a tinge of wanting to do something more. I had preached before and received words of counsel from others outside, whether in church ministry or in huddle ministry, that said, Shannon, you've got a gift. You need to explore that. I would oftentimes, and I offer this very humbly, but mm-hmm. I'm only reflecting the opinions of others, that they would hear my voice and say, we love listening to you. Now, trying to balance that in humility, right. young in ministry, mm-hmm. again, you very quickly misinterpret that as you've got so much to offer and it's so mm-hmm. good. But what they're simply saying is they're celebrating the gift inside of you.
Yeah.
It was God who gave that gift to you or me, and it is to God that we need to deflect the praise back to.
Yeah.
And very humbly, starting in the ministry with FCA, it was a quick blow to my confidence, because as I was around more and more people who spoke very well, I never thought or imagined that I would have the opportunity to then be taking that platform and doing that very thing. Mm-hmm. Although there was this fire inside of me that wanted to pursue that.
Right.
I wanted to pursue speaking publicly. I wanted to pursue those things. Mm-hmm. And I had to battle out, Brian, whether or not it was a selfish desire mm-hmm. versus a God-placed desire yeah. and calling for me to do that.
Yeah.
That's where some of that rub with humility and balancing out with that confidence versus cockiness. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, the first few times of doing it was certainly not pretty, mm-hmm. to say the least.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you continue to learn, you continue to grow, and you continue to develop. So I think now, you know, as you are able to share from your experiences, what would you say is probably one of the most, I'll call it, you know, something that can be a stumbling block to a leader that's like in middle school, high school, who's kind of starting to develop, you know, their leadership capabilities. They're starting to grow in their abilities, those gifts that you talk about. What are some things that tend to, that might break your heart when you see it in somebody? And it may be a reflection of something that you went through, or maybe it's just something where you're just like, man, I just wish they would get it.
Mm. Can I answer both of those questions?
Go right ahead.
Let me start with the first. For a middle school or a high school student, one of the things I think that could never be underestimated, or we can't place enough value on, is having the right people around you.
That's good. That's really good.
I'm not talking about the yes men.
Right.
The ones that fluff you up and that make you feel good.
Yeah.
I constantly preach a series or a sermon talking about what I call your MVPs. Mm-hmm. I've preached it up here on the mountain. I'll preach it in years to come, mm-hmm. talking about surrounding yourself with MVPs. And it's the people that motivate you based off Proverbs 27:17 is iron sharpens iron, so one man, so one woman, mm-hmm. so one friend sharpens another.
Right.
The V is validating and having someone like Ephesians 2:10 who lifts your chin to heaven to remind you that you're God's masterpiece. You're not your own. Of course, you were bought with a price, but you are God's masterpiece. There's a lot of self-loathing and self-hate, which gets into depression and, of course, suicide rates being what they are today. And it's having the right people around you that will help validate you. You're not who you are because of what boyfriend or girlfriend you have. You're not who you are because of what you do athletically and your accomplishments. You're who you are because who God made you to be. So people that motivate you, people that validate you, and people that will pray with you and for you. That's mm-hmm. the P, MVP.
Yeah.
That confessing our sin to one another and praying for one another, that's where much gets accomplished there.
Yeah.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Find a friend that will forever keep on praying.
Yeah.
And not stop praying for you and with you. And so surrounding yourself with MVPs, if I was talking to a middle school or a high school student, or if I was talking to a parent
yeah.
of a middle schooler or a high schooler, I would encourage the parent to right now begin praying for MVPs in their child's life. Mm-hmm. I would encourage the student to begin praying right now that God would bring an MVP to their life that would, as Toby Mac says in his famous song, speak life mm-hmm. into them and speak life into their situations.
Yeah.
Now, you asked me another question about what breaks my heart
yeah.
for young leaders. And if I'll dip into that for just a moment.
Go right ahead.
One of the things that breaks my heart the most is some of the same pain that I have experienced, this cockiness and confidence being turned into a holy humility before the Lord, which is a lifelong process.
Right.
But this generation that I see that has developed and how this sickness and cancer has spread outside of just one particular age group. Mm-hmm. And it really knows no age boundaries. I've seen 60-year-olds and I've seen 16-year-olds that have acted the same exact way in 2018. Mm. And that is this sense of selfishness. This cancer that is invading our society. There is no sense of me doing something for someone else to be and respond as a selfless act. And expect nothing in return but to simply do it because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the most disheartening things that I witness on a regular basis throughout all of our generation, not just with young leaders, but the sense of what can you do for me? How can you serve me? And I'm entitled to everything. That breaks my heart, Brian. I pray against that for this up and coming generation of young leaders, that they would break that chain and help redirect our focus, that we cannot make it individually. We must be a team.
Yeah, I think that's so good. I mean, I heard you mention that in the session this morning, and just I thought it was huge because I think sometimes as a leader, I think getting this idea of expecting nothing in return, you know what I'm saying? Like I can think back to like my parents, I can think back to teachers, I can think back to coaches who just give of their time, of their talents, of their treasure in so many different arenas. And it's just like, they don't do it and then give you a bill and say like, all right, I did all of this at the end of the year, this is what you owe me. You know what I'm saying? Like they just give, they just serve. And I think that's probably that's why some of the, you know, the pinnacle pictures of what it looks like to be a leader are, you know, your teachers, your coaches, you know, people who are willing to serve without strings attached. You know, like that's why we love people in the military. You know what I'm saying? Like they go out there and put their lives on the line for, you know, without asking of anything in return. So if you could possibly, as simply as possible, maybe even down to a word, how would you characterize what leadership should be? Like, what is leadership? Like, maybe, like, what's a synonym for leadership? Or like, if somebody, like, if you gave somebody, like, okay, I want you to grow in leadership. And this is a target that I want you to shoot for. It's like, how am I blank every day? How am I doing, you know, walking in humility? How am I, whatever. How would you do that?
Brian, can I go two ways?
Go right ahead.
I'll give you one word.
Yep.
And then let me paint a word picture.
Please go right ahead.
The word picture I got from a guy named Aaron.
Okay.
That I sat with in a leadership class in college.
Okay.
I went to Mars Hill College. We were tasked with drawing what leadership looks like.
Mm.
And I'll never forget, you know, we're an image-driven society.
Very much.
Emojis are the fastest language developing in all of society.
Right.
It's amazing to me. We're going all the way back to hieroglyphics. I thought we progressed past that.
Never thought about it like that, but that's very
true. But nonetheless, let me paint this word picture. I'm sitting in the class with Aaron, and I remember when he did his presentation, mine was not nearly as artistic, nor was it as accurate, I didn't feel. In fact, I don't even remember what I drew. But I do remember what Aaron had drawn for class.
Okay.
He had drawn a picture of a person casting a dart out of their hands toward a target, a dartboard, if you will, on the wall.
Yes.
To me, that imagery of leadership has stuck with me my entire life. There's a motivating factor that begins setting the dart in motion. The dart being the ones that you are leading, but you are giving them the propulsion to move forward. You are giving them every resource they need to start. In this case, the energy to fly through the air.
Right.
You provided the tips, the feathers on the end of the dart to be able to fly in a straight pattern. Mm-hmm. And you've set them toward a target before them. What happens in mid-flight or whatever happens that they may cause to derail or whatever else. But the word picture of setting something in motion toward an intended target. That's such a beautiful picture of leadership, of what we're attempting to do with those that we're leading.
Yeah.
Now, that's the word picture.
Sure.
If I were to just have to ascribe it, if we had to drill all of this down to one word, and I had to share that just because I've never forgotten it.
No, that's powerful. I like it.
But the one word, if I had to summarize in one word, would simply be sacrifice.
Mm.
It would be sacrifice. To love sacrificially. That's the model that Jesus set.
Mm-hmm.
He sacrificed his lordship, even though fully God, became fully man. And sacrificed his position to become less than the least of these.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't born into wealth, but born in a stable.
Yeah.
That was sacrifice. And we can't truly love if we can't truly sacrifice.
Yeah. I definitely think, you know, when you talk about not expecting anything in return, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's definitely sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are saying, I am just giving this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm going to get anything else in return, and I don't want anything in return. But I think you're right. That's such a huge picture of leadership. So
the Bible says it better than even you and I know. When you go back to Paul's words in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself.
I really appreciate this, Tom. I know I'm going to go back and jot down a lot of these notes, you know, and some of it's stuff that I've already heard, but I think it's, you know, just, I appreciate your time, obviously, on this podcast. While I have you, you know, you shared a lot of things. I'm always intrigued. What are some things you're reading right now? What are some things you're listening to? What's kind of catching your attention? You know, what are you currently being influenced by to be able to, you know, chew up, digest, and be able to, you know, run through God's word and be able to deliver to people.
Right. Well, Paul has a lot of good aspects of leadership. John Maxwell has a leadership Bible that is out, which gives a different perspective than just an average study Bible, which gives the historical perspectives and the background. John, in all of his leadership wisdom, has applied leadership principles in that. So extracting the leadership principles from the Bible, I constantly go back to that resource because he has so many nuggets of wisdom that's planted there. One of the books that I'm currently reading that is not on any Christian author's list that I'm aware of, but it's written by a man by the name of Charles Duhigg.
Okay.
It's called The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do. Habits obviously turn into patterns, or they are themselves patterns, and as they are done over a long period of time, become part of our lifestyle. If we can learn to control the habits, if we can learn to dictate to the habits and create new patterns and new habits. I don't know about you, but you know, if there is a time that you get in a pattern of getting out of the bed in the morning and not making your bed, and you do that for a week straight, then all of a sudden you just don't know why your room is always messy, but you address one particular issue. What is the one particular issue? And Charles actually talks about that with an illustration of a war zone and people creating a riot. And the reason that the rioters stayed is because there were actually food vendors that would show up and on the fringes begin to even have food to feed the masses. And when the army assessed that situation and realized that if they could take the food and the vendors out of the way, that people would not stay for nearly as long,
right,
and the riots and the masses would diminish and die down. And he was exactly right. The habits that structure what we do on a regular basis, making one small change. I'm always looking, Brian, to try to figure out what is one small change that I can make that's going to have just a 1 degree difference, that's going to set the course well down the road, much further away from where I would have been headed toward disaster.
Man, I appreciate you sharing. Is there anything, last thoughts that you want to be able to share? Obviously, if you want to mention how people can get in touch with you, anything like that. But no, like I said, I really appreciate your time.
Well, Brian, my last comment would be that I'm just grateful to God for the opportunity to be used as a vessel. I pray that with each and every day, I can continue to get out of his way and allow him to pour through me whatever his purpose is, to reach the least and the lost. I am on social media. People can reach out. You can find me on Facebook, Shannon Powell. I serve as the campus chaplain with FCA at Wingate University. So find us on Facebook at FCA Wingate. I'm on other social media platforms as Shannon K. Powell 1. So you can reach out there through Instagram and Twitter.
Cool. Man, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. Be nice.
If you like the podcast, anybody, please, by all means, I love getting messages of what your favorite part was, you know, just different notes and nuggets that you gleaned from what was shared. I'm so thankful that, you know, you're listening and retaining the information. And I'm also, like I said, just as excited to hear how you're able to apply what you're learning on this podcast. Hopefully you got filled. There was a lot at the table today. Thanks again to Shannon for that. By all means, reach out to me. I'm on social media, BeNice21, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just find me. Say hello. If you see me, say hello. I'm very personable by all means. But this episode of the podcast is over. I hope you have a great week, and I will see you next Friday. God bless.